welcome to the Healthy Postnatal Buddy Podcast with your postnatal expert, Peter Lapp. That would be me. Today, we're talking... That wasn't very excited. Today, we are talking diastasis recti in men, the causes and the solutions. We're talking how to fix diastasis recti when you're in a wheelchair. And finally, there's a great study out that shows that, you know, dietary changes and making some lifestyle alterations can decrease your biological age by 3 years. So I'll take you through that one because it's well worth knowing. It'll be fun. Here we go. For the 6th of 2021, I'm here sitting in the studio, or my room as it's also known, surrounded by four of the finest puppies and a kitten. And that means I have to leave the door open. So if you hear a little bit of bumpala bumpala bump, that's a dog running up the stairs or down the stairs or whatever they're trying to do. But you know, they should behave, shouldn't they? Right, so what are we talking about today? I hope your week is going well. It's yet another glorious, glorious day in my neck of the world. I hope yours is going well. I hope you're enjoying the summer. If you had half term, I hope you had a good week. And you know, if you didn't have half term, I hope you had a good week somewhere else. So Jess is mainly responsible for the input into today's podcast. And you know, throw her under the bus. She said I should have called this one the Minority Report. To be fair, that would have been a better title than Diastasis Recti in Men and How to Heal Diastasis Recti if You're Wheelchair Bound. Minority Report would have been a hell of a lot funnier. But you know, some of this stuff has to rank on Google somewhere. Doesn't it, Pegasus? Yes, it does. Right, so we're talking diastasis recti in men to begin with. Now, I know a lot of women, the vast majority of listeners to this are women, and God love you for it. Thank you very much for listening. It is appreciated. So you might want to switch off, is what you're thinking, but don't. Don't, because you might have partners and all that sort of stuff. Most of you will have partners. And a lot of them could well also have diastasis recti. And the reason for that is that it is more and more common for men to have it as well, right? The causes being the standard things, other than pregnancy, of course. As I've always said, diastasis recti is caused by too much pressure within the core. And therefore, the muscles just can't keep it all in anymore and can't stay in place. That is fundamentally what it's all about. Right now, for guys, that's quite often caused by it can also be caused by gym injuries, right? As in sudden onset, if you will, diastasis recti, caused by doing a deadlift and doing the Valsalva maneuver, holding your breath, not breathing properly during a deadlift, and all of a sudden everything just goes bump. But predominantly it's just caused by guys sitting behind a desk too much. And whilst they're doing that, you know, their core muscles go a little bit. I spoke about the perma bloat last week or the week before. Or I wrote about it. I did something about perma bloating. The Western diet, just bloating through diet. And that then is just, basically it's repetitive strain then, isn't it? It is just constant pressure on the abdominal wall and lack of exercise just causes everything to go a little bit. And that, my friends, is not good for us at all. And if you then add that to every now and again, people do sit-ups and they're breathing incorrectly during exercise and all that sort of stuff. And that means that guys can also get diastasis recti. Quite often, it used to be called a beer belly. And I wrote a blog about this years and years and years ago. A beer belly isn't always a beer belly, right? You always check your posture first and you find out whether it's pelvic tilt or not. Again, the whole anterior pelvic tilt that I wrote about before and probably did a podcast on before as well. Basically, when your posture is out of alignment in the pelvic area and you need to sorted out by strengthening the glutes up and all that sort of stuff. Very similar to how it is after you've had your pregnancy waddle and all that sort of stuff. Right? You have to pull your body back into some form of alignment. That is also why the diastasis recti in men essentially has the same solution as diastasis recti in women. You measure it the same way. The pelvic floor obviously is slightly different because we don't have a vafufu, right? We have a penis. But fundamentally, everything works the same way in the pelvic floor as well. So you still need to engage the pelvic floor a little bit when you do the core breath. This is where a lot of guys kind of bow out when it comes to any sort of programming, because most of the programming for diastasis recti is obviously aimed at women. And when I say obviously, I mean, that is what my experience is, and, you know, 99% of it. There are one or two articles about core training, and they call diastasis recti in dudes. One of them is actually, I think, it's redefining strength. I'm not quite sure. But I think she has a bit on diastasis recti in men. That is, that she calls diastasis recti in dudes. Okay, let me look that up. See, again, professional would have had this ready. Stasis in dudes. But, you know, if nothing else, I am not professional. And also, this was a top of my head sort of segue. Diastasis recti on dudes. And dudes gaining a lot of weight. Yeah, so it's not necessarily caused by weight gain, right? Diastasis recti. I've said this before. This is a common myth. There is a dudes with diastasis recti gym program and all that, but I'm sure she did something on this. Anyways, Redefining Strength, it's an excellent website. You should definitely check it out. I've listed her before as one of my top three sort of YouTube channels to follow. She's awesome. Anyways, there is, there's a lot of chat on most of these websites about weight gain and weight loss and all that. I had an email years ago from a guy with diastasis recti who, and I made the same easy assumption that it's to do with weight gain. Turned out the guy was a professional ballerina or a ballet dancer. So I'm not making that mistake again. It is easy to assume that it's fat guys that need to lose a lot of weight because, or that have lost a lot of weight, that have DRLF because their core tends to be remarkably weak because of the kind of food they ate and the level of inactivity that they had. However, like I said, I mean, this guy was a professional ballet dancer. And those guys are in good shape. I mean, I saw his pictures because he sent me pictures and we worked together for a little while. The guy was a beast. He just had diastasis recti because he wasn't breathing properly and because he wasn't lifting properly. Right? There's a lot of there's a lot of pressure being put on the body of a professional athlete. And that is what ballet dancers are. These guys and girls, of course, are machines. That they are phenomenal. They are next level sort of guys. This was not, when I say professional ballet dancer, I mean them in a big company. So in a big theater, in a big production. So we had to heal that. And the way we healed that was by getting his breathing right. Right? His muscle functionality was obviously excellent, right? His body knew how to engage muscles. Which, for if you've been sedentary for a long time and you have never done any core training, specific core training, then you may well not have that. So in that case, again, the procedure is the same. You start with muscle activation. So any postnatal program will heal diastasis recti in guys as well. The problem is, of course, there's a lot of chat is about babies and all that sort of stuff in most postnatal programs. I don't think we're bad for that. But then again, I don't remember what I said on all the videos, so what do I know? Right? I tend to focus on the exercises rather than on the whole pregnancy malarkey. If you can call it pregnancy, I can call it pregnancy malarkey. We're fine. I'm not going to get an angry email about that, am I? So, so Pegasus, what was that? Oh, yes. So, the ballet dancer. So, getting your muscle activation correctly and then getting your breathing correctly. And that is just by using the core breath to lift up from your pelvic floor, exhale from your pelvic floor up rather than the sudden exhale burst out. That is exactly the same in men as it is in women. The how to strengthen up the muscles, how to heal them, how to bring them together is exactly the same as it is in women. It is not that difficult to heal within guys, but it does usually require a full change of diet. So it's not just for people who lose weight. It's caused by things like I said, exercise injuries or a work injury in the case of the ballet dancer. It's a work injury, just constantly lifting 50 kilos of woman and doing some insane dance maneuvers and all that sort of stuff without breathing correctly, without engaging your core correctly, is a bit of a pickle. I know one or two musical performers that are, again, they are completely ripped, they are in great shape, but they really, really struggle to get that core engagement right because they have to sing and dance and at the same time do some great stuff, but they can struggle with diastasis recti as an injury. So again, that is all fixable, but then it requires a bit more thought on how to work through that in your day-to-day life. So if you in your day-to-day life have a physically demanding job that depends on you doing two or three things at the same time, singing, dancing, and lifting things, and breathing correctly, is different for all these things, because obviously breathing for singing, and breathing for lifting, your breath might be at a different time. I know David Diggs, the Hamilton guy, the rapper, who played George Washington and Thomas Jefferson in Hamilton. If you think about that, all the movement he's doing, and he's not suffering from DR, but I know he spoke about breathing whilst lifting and whilst rapping and whilst dancing and all that sort of stuff. It's a very complex mix. So if you have something like that, I would suggest working with a professional. For anything else, if you just have a steady office job, so to speak, then you can fix that by following any sort of postnatal program or just by a DR program. Like I said, there are websites out there called DR with Dudes and all that sort of stuff if you're more inclined in that way. But if you find, ladies, that your partner is suffering from diastasis recti or has a permanent beer belly, you think, that is constantly swollen, get them to do the postnatal program that you're doing. Just get them to do the exercises and ignore the vagina part and the pregnancy part. Right? If you're doing Mutu or if you're doing HPMB or one of the other ones, then just say, you should be doing this as well. I have had many, many, many clients male clients that came to me just because their wife's got a six pack or their wife's got a completely flat stomach. And the guys were just like, I want some of that. Well, you should be working with this guy then. And we do basically, in the case of diastasis recti, we do exactly the same program, just with heavier weights, because usually guys can lift a little bit more, even if their core strength is compromised. But again, it's about core activation, right? So it's about working the muscle. It's not about lifting as heavy as you can. Right, and that brings us on to the next one. And this is an excellent bit. Again, Jess got in touch with me about this one, because there was a lady on one of the forums that Jess is a member of who, I'm not on Facebook. I have a Facebook account so I can have the HPMB account. I don't do anything else on there. But she basically said that she's in a wheelchair and she has diastasis recti. And she got it from getting in and out of the wheelchair, and she was wondering how to fix it, because most Dysonsense Rectile programs are aimed at able-bodied people. Her term, not mine. Right? So I'm not sure what the exactly the correct term is for lesser able-bodied people and all that sort of stuff, or when you're disabled or whatever we call it now. It is all good, right? Just remember, I'm not trying to offend anyone here. Right. So almost all programs, anyway, she was saying almost all programs are catered towards able-bodied people, as in people that have full functionality of their legs or arms. And that's an excellent point. Because as I spoke about with regards to the bit for Dysonsense Rectile in guys, people in wheelchair are sedentary all day. Except, of course, it's not through choice. So, yeah, you sit down, you're sitting down constantly. You have limited or no use of your legs, or you don't have legs or anything like that. Yeah, squatting is going to be a bit of an issue, isn't it? You can't do squats if you don't have legs or your legs don't work. You can't do glute kicks and all that sort of stuff. So you have to have a completely different thing, and that's where all the programs. And like I said, HPMB is as guilty of this as the next. I never considered putting that together for people, because a lot of people, like this woman was saying, she has Dysonsense Rectile because she uses her arms to lift her in and out of a wheelchair, and that takes a lot of pressure. So that again is a breathing incorrectly thing. It's a bracing yourself. It's a big lift, deep breath in, and then get it done. So, and I'm not saying there's necessarily an alternative for doing it that way. Obviously, breathing correctly helps through an exercise. But if you're not strong enough for the actual motion, it's not like conventional training in a gym where you, I don't know, if you can't lift 10 kg, then try 7.5. You know, your body weight, and it needs to go from the chair to the bed and the chair to the toilet or wherever. And a lot of exercises that we do, you know, if you don't have legs, you can't do heel slides. Right? And again, I'm not trying to be a jackass about it, but this never even occurred to me that this is a real problem for women or for and guys in wheelchairs. So we're going to put something together, right? I'll put something up this month. I have given myself, I'm telling you, it's this month. And therefore, I'm putting this online that it'll be this month. Therefore, I have 24 days to sort of get my shit together and sort this out and put a program together for people in wheelchairs who have like no or limited use of your legs, or you're just used to being in the wheelchair all day and all that sort of stuff. So how you can heal Dysonsense Rectile, because obviously that's what I'm promising to tell you here now. Well, that's the subject of this particular podcast. Is by doing your anti-rotational stuff. You can do this in the wheelchair. There's lots of exercises you can do in a wheelchair. Assuming you have use of your glutes, and I'm not necessarily given, I'm talking generalisms here. Is it generalisms? Yeah, generalisms. You know what I mean. If you can do glute clenches and all that sort of stuff, then basically that will help with your glutes, with your glute muscles. Basically just squeezing your bum together, squeezing your glutes as hard as you can. I know that sucks and that's not ideal, but top of my head, that is one of the few exercises that I can think of that people in wheelchairs can do constantly. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail because I was going to save this for another podcast. It's about on how to get stronger and more endurance in the muscle. It's about muscular overload, right? Always, always, always overload. Now, if you don't have legs, you can't put a resistance band on your legs and do glute kicks, right? Or you can't, if you can't have, don't have use of your legs, then you can't do glute kicks with a resistance band or with a cable machine. So we have to come up with a different way. So one of the things I'm thinking is glute clenches. Pardon me. It's glute clenches and all that sort of stuff. But you still want to strengthen your glutes up. Still want to strengthen your pelvic floor up. So, because that is such an important part of the body. So if you can swing it, then see a pelvic floor specialist. And they can give you some exercises for your pelvic floor. Just do your Kegels and all that sort of stuff, right? Again, this assumes you have functionality of all that sort of thing. Because I can't, you know, the Paralympics will be on after the Tokyo Olympics, and I know there's like 25 or 30 different categories and qualifications of different levels of able-bodiedness or disability, whatever we call it. So I can't account for all of them. So this is assuming you have use of your functionality of your glutes and your pelvic floor. I mean, if you're a quadriplegic, I can't help you with your DR. That's basically what I'm saying. Without being a jackass about it. Right? If you're Superman, Christopher Reeves, then, you know, unfortunately, there's nothing I can think of. But if you are, see, I was doing a nice thing and then I make a joke like that because I can't help myself because I'm a jackass. Right? So if you are sedentary and so you have to do the exercises sitting down, then things like anti-rotational stuff you can, and rotational exercises you can still do in a wheelchair. Pale-off presses and core presses and core twists and all that sort of stuff with holds. And we have all the exercise, we have all the videos for this on the HPMB YouTube channel. It's just, I never put them together into a routine. If you, and it might be that, obviously, as I always try to have an exercise routine make sense. And I don't try not to have people get up and down and up and down all the time. But within a wheelchair, I don't want you in the wheelchair, out the wheelchair, in the wheelchair, out the wheelchair, especially not when it's the getting in and out of the wheelchair that's causing the problem to begin with, or making the problem worse at least. So it might well be that you have to split your routine up. So you're looking at side planks and all that sort of stuff. Even if you have no legs, you can do a side plank and you can do dips and all that sort of thing. It's just creating a bit of upper body strength. All that sort of stuff will work. So I'm going to put something together. I'll be ready by the end of this month and it'll fit in the first 3 months or something like that. I'm not sure how long I can make the program last for. So what I'll do is I'll put something up, and whether that's a 4 week or an 8 week program, it'll be free to access because the first 12 weeks or 13 weeks are free on HPMB anyways. So this will be a completely free thing, and it might just be the home routine or a home routine, because we'll go for a different kind of overload. And I'll explain all that in the next podcast, or I might do that when I've actually finished this. It'll be a different kind of overload, be like an endurance overload rather than a weight one. So high reps regularly throughout the day, because this the sitting down that is absolute murder, so to speak, for people in a wheelchair, and it just makes it so much worse. So that is coming up in advance. How cool is that? How cool am I? Right? Like I said, I'm a jackass for not having done this first. It just, you know, and this is why I always say, you need to hang out with different kinds of people. You need to hang out with people from different backgrounds, people with different abilities and all that, because this sort of thing never entered my mind that this would be a problem. Because I'm a healthy middle-aged white guy. I have no problems with regards to that. Well, the world is made for me. It's also made by people like me. So that helps my life. Right. So from Neuroscience News, this came from Impact Journals, to be fair. This is a study. This is in the news this week. 27th of May. We'll still count that as this week, right? Study came out that shows simple dietary changes and adopting lifestyle alterations, including improved sleep schedule, taking probiotics and exercising, can reduce signs of biological aging by 3 years in just 8 weeks, is what the study says. Right. Now, this is the business. I have said this for ages. The study is small. It was 43 adults between the ages of 50 and 72. And you know, this study was released on April the 12th already, so it's a little bit ago. But there you go. When we're talking biological age, we're not talking your physiological age. We're not talking how old you are. We're talking how old your body is. You know, Halle Berry might well be 50, but she has the body of a 40-year-old or whatever, right? That sort of thing. Whereas, you know, some Scottish guys that I've bumped into, they're 25 and have a body of a 40-year-old, that sort of thing. You know, a lot of PTs have these Tanita scales and all that sort of thing. They measure your body fat percentage and they come up with your metabolic age and all that sort of bullshit. I'm not going to say that metabolic age isn't a thing. It is. It's just not measured by a Tanita scale. That you can't stand on a set of scales and measure your metabolic age. That's just horse shit. Anyways. That's guaranteed me one or two emails from angry PTs who just spent £100 on a set of scales. The biological age of your body is basically just seeing how old it is measured on what they call a DNA MH clock. It's the HORFAF 2013 thing. Now, yeah, basically, I mean, I can explain it to you, but I'm not going to. It is a fascinating thing because, right, so they took 43 guys. So, like I said, small study. Between the ages of 50 and 72, because you have to knock some time off, some years off, so it's easier to do that. First of all, it's easier to do this sort of study with guys because our hormone levels are different and more constant and all that sort of stuff. Ages between 50 and 72 makes sense because, you know, you're trying to find out whether you can make people younger. There's no point in doing this to a 20-year-old. And the adult males were healthy. So that means in this case, they had no illnesses. This doesn't mean that they are fit as a fiddle. Anyways, they had an 8-week treatment program, including diet was monitored, sleep, exercise, and relaxation guide. Relaxation guide. See, I'm telling you, lower stress levels, right? And supplemental, you know, probiotics, phytonutrients, and all that sort of stuff. Now, amazingly enough, because we didn't expect it to be this big, because we always know that if you take really good care of yourself and you get everything right, you sleep, your stress levels and all that sort of stuff, then you look better, you feel better. You just do. You look younger, you feel younger. It's the same as giving a dog a haircut, right? But in this case, 8 weeks, after 8 weeks only, they knocked 3 years, three whole years of the biological age, and that's huge. I mean, that is massive. Because it means that every middle-aged bugger out there, and this includes women who've been pregnant, by the way, this goes for everybody, if you take really good care of yourself, you will look younger, you will feel better, and your body will, biologically speaking, be younger than if you don't. And this includes sleep, and this includes probiotics. And I keep banging on about probiotics, guys. Take your kefir every day. It doesn't cost that much. Take some kefir. You go to the shop, you buy the fucking stuff, pardon my French, and just take it. It is good for you. You need to take care of your gut biome. If you want to be healthy, you need to have a decent diet. You need to take some probiotics. You need to make sure you get your micronutrients in, your phytonutrients in this case. And you have to avoid stress wherever you can. This is why it's okay for... It is... Yeah, it might be... I'm just going to say, I'm not going to mince my words. It's okay for someone who's just given birth to look like shit because your sleep is constantly interrupted. If you have no interrupted sleep other than caused by yourself, it's your own fault, then you need to fix that. It is not acceptable. It is just not cool. It is remarkably bad for you. So if sleep is your problem, and I have a lot of clients that where sleep used to be their problem, then please fix that. Sort that out. You know, the whole no phone before bed, don't sleep with your phone next to you and all that sort of nonsense. Telly before bed and all that sort of stuff. Just cut that out. Get your relaxation and get Headspace or something. Do a daily guided meditation and you'll look much better for it. You will feel much better for it. And if you feel better, you look better. It is that simple. I'm not talking weight loss here. Obviously, you know, if you are clinically obese and something like that, and you're unhealthy with it and all that sort of thing, which you are if you're clinically obese, just in case there's as an FA a person listening to this, Sort your diet out. Eat well, eat healthy, don't eat any rubbish, and you can knock years off your biological age, of the age of your body. And there's nothing wrong with aging. You know, physical aging is your literal age. Well, we'll go up anyways. That's a linear thing. Time is time, right? Stephen Hawking kind of proved that, as far as I'm aware, from the little I understood of the Big Bang Theory, History of Time book. You know, that is basically, yeah, there's nothing we can do about that. However, the biological age of the body we can affect, and that is we do by diet. And this basically shows that if you take really good care of yourself, not only will you be fitter and healthier and all those sorts of stuff, you can reverse aging. That is astonishing. Right? That is insane. Where you can, that this stuff is fixable. Right? A lot of the stuff, this shows you it is never too late to really take good care of yourself. So, you know, read the study. Have a look. I'll link to an article. If you want the link to the study, then that's fine as well. It's a phenomenal read. At least it's interesting. Right? You want to see what they did for these people. It's all listed in there. Shows you exactly what they did. But basically, manage your diet. Manage your stress levels. Get your sleep right. Take your probiotics. Take your phytonutrients and all that sort of stuff. And make sure you get your vitamins and minerals and all that sort of nonsense in. And you can undo a lot of the damage that might have been done to you by other lifestyle choices or lifestyle situations, such as stress. You know, stress can age us tremendously. But now it turns out we can reverse all that stuff. How amazing is that? Or at least we can reverse a lot of it. Anyways, that is my podcast done. I think it's impressive. I had sleepy puppies and sleepy kittens here. A sleepy kitten here. And there has been no noise. There's been no shouting. It's been a beautiful, beautiful day. It's a beautiful recording. Peter@healthypostnatalbody.com. If you have any questions, comments, want to call me a jackass, Peter@healthypostnatalbody.com. If you want to get on the podcast, I'm doing some interviews week after next. But if you want to come on, I'm still looking for like a farmer or something like that. Come on, or any sort of dietitian that is interested in more than just the micronutrients and calories. I need to have people with some idea of where food comes from and all that sort of stuff. Because I have three or four interesting things I want to discuss. I'd like to discuss when I say want. It sounds like a rather selfish little pig. Anyways, I'm waffling now, so I'm going to go. New bit of music for you. Have a great week all. Take care. Bye now. Looking out the window, fogging up the glass. I trace the skyline with my finger. I'm wondering where you're at. Thank you.
even if you need